Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. 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 Thank you, brother. Thank you. Y'all pause just for a moment. If anybody ever gives you a drink of water, go ahead and drink it. Show you're grateful. I am grateful, brother. Thank you so much. It's an awesome time. I love that new song, by the way. It was absolutely wonderful. It was just great. Y'all did such a wonderful job. I really don't know. You've had a lot of your service already. Pastor John just came out like a bull coming out of a china, coming into a china shop. He bumping, hitting everything, and just getting it out of him. Amen. I love the freedom of God's Spirit, don't you? He knows he's free to do that. Hey, we're just family. We're his family. And what we want most here is the presence of God to be manifested. We don't want just meetings. We hunger after his presence to be manifested, to be made known. How many of you felt his presence today? I tangibly felt his presence today. I really did. Still do. And but we want to do a couple of things this morning before I get started. I want to talk to you about you are the one that he's going to use to make the way. You're not a people who just have grace that has been deposited upon us. I'm grateful for grace, aren't you? It's a divine appointment. It's a divine ability that God gives us to do the very things that he's asked us to do. We don't have to do it out of our own ability. We do it out of his. But the issue with our grace a lot of times is we don't realize that we're dispensers. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit. But Crystal, are you here? Yes, come on up. I want you to come on up, dear. Crystal Daniels is going to be going to another church. And everybody say, oh. But she's coming back. She'll be back. God has spoken to her about going to another place that needs help. And she came and asked. I just love the way you guys are learning. She's not hugging me. I just love the way you guys are walking in honor. Instead of just leaving without saying anything to anybody, she comes to her pastor and she sits down and she said, I need to talk to you about something. And we began to discuss it. And as a pastor, I was wanting to make sure she wasn't coerced. She wasn't talked into something by man, but that this was God said. It's part of my job, part of my appointment in your life to ask you questions, not hold you from going, but to ask you questions to make sure you are hearing the Spirit of God, because there are a lot of voices out there, right? But after our conversation and prayer, we realized that God was speaking to her, and she's going to go to another house of worship for a season and help them. But we don't want people just to be missing. And people say, I wonder where so-and-so is at. No, we want people to know where Crystal is. Amen. So I want you to stand in honor of God, and we're just going to pray over her. How many of you want her to be successful in the Lord's work? Amen. Amen. So if you will, just as a prophetic gesture and your agreement with God, just extend it forward to her as we pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for Crystal. We thank you, God, that you're at work in her life. And Lord, it is a blessing for us to send her forth to do your job, to do the job that you've given her to do, the work, the ministry that you've given her to do. And Lord, we're honored that you would pick someone among us to send out and to continue work that will glorify you and build the kingdom. So we ask you, Father, to strengthen her in these days, to speak through her, to sing through her, to pray through her. Lord, that whatever it is that you want to do by using her, she's available. Just get all the glory and build that house of worship. Lord, grow it quickly. Lord, let it outgrow this one. Let it outgrow any of them. Just let it happen, God, for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you want to say something?
I just thank all of you for showing your love. The whole time that I've been here, I have felt your love. And I'm going to miss everybody. I'm going to miss this house because I love this house. And I don't know how long, but I will be back. I'll be visiting. You'll probably see me soon. So I'll miss all of you, though. And thank you for everything that you've sown into my life.
Amen. We love you. Hallelujah. I love stuff like that. I really do. You know, for another house to be able to get the resources and to get the people that are ready to answer the call of God and go do things. And I'm happy about it. You know, I don't want to see her leave, but I want to see her leave. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to see her leave because I really want her to stay. But I want to see her go do what God wants her to do. And if that's at another location, I say, yes, God. Amen. So it's just beautiful. You don't remember the time when, let's see, Brother Tom Elkins was still at Alexander Baptist Church, and Jay Thomas went over there to lead worship. He had asked Jay Thomas to go lead worship. And y'all remember that Sunday? And I really felt like God wanted us to sort of support that. Oh, it was on a Sunday morning. And God wanted us to really support that, you know, endeavor, support one of ours going to lead worship at another location. And if you remember that, raise your hand. Okay. Got a lot of new people here too. But I said, you know, wouldn't it be a great thing if some of us would just leave now, go over there, because we started at 10:30, they started at 11. Leave now, go over there, and just support our brother in worship and support that house. Wouldn't it just be great? Yeah, I said, well, then let's do it. You know, I said, I want some of you to just get your coat, whatever it was, and I said, I want you to go to Alexander Baptist, and I want you to go support that ministry and support Brother Jay. And so, you know, people kept getting up and leaving. I said, God, close this gate real quick. No, I didn't. I didn't. I really didn't. As a matter of fact, it was over half of you left and went over there. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I really did. I think it was absolutely beautiful. You know why? It's not about Father's Vineyard. It's about the kingdom of God. So we're not just here to build this congregation. We're here to build the kingdom of God. Amen? And we don't ever need to lose sight of that. I have some information that's a little sad, but I want to give it to you. Roger and Carmen Maxwell's son, Jordan, had a tragic accident on a bicycle Saturday. I think it was Saturday morning. They didn't know it till Saturday night, but he fell, and he was on a bicycle, hit something, and it tossed him, and it hit his head, and he actually died. You know, so he's gone on to be with the Lord. I think 33 years old, 32, 33, somewhere in there. But anyway, those of you that know that family, they're going to have a celebration of his life tomorrow night at Element Church. It's the old Alexander Baptist Church, but that's the church that they're going to do the celebration in, 6:30 tomorrow. So if you want to be a part of that, please go and just, you know, tell Roger and, I mean, I'll be there as well, but tell Roger and Carmen that how much you love them. And we just want to make sure that they feel loved by us. Amen. So, Father, let's just pray. Father, I thank you that in the midst of everything that goes on in our life, including death, you've already provided. I thank you for providing them with comfort, peace, faith, trust, and reassurance that all is well. Bless them, Lord. Comfort them and gather them and their family in such a way that their your presence would be known in their midst. And that at the song, Lord, we know that you're the way maker, that they can follow you in all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to go to Isaiah. I'm not going to give you the chapter yet because you'll go to it and start reading. If you're very prophetic, you'll know which one it is. I'm messing with you. But I want to talk to you about about our place in God's way, his word and his way, and we have a place in that. And he, how many of you think that we have a world that has a lot of hopelessness? Raise your hand if you acknowledge that this world, you run into a lot of people that has a lot of hopelessness, a lot of things going on in their lives. But when you find hopelessness, you find no joy. But where you find great hope, you find great joy. Because they go together. And our culture is of the culture that says, you know, hope is actually well-wishing. In other words, it's the ability to wish things are happening. I wish this would happen. I wish that would happen. And it's not wishful thinking. Let me say it that way. It's not wishful thinking. The culture would have it that that's wishful thinking. And the culture would want us to understand that that when something happens, that's when you can really celebrate. And when something happens, it's good. That's when you can really celebrate and give thanks. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not biblical joy. See, biblical joy is joyful. The real meaning of it, of this thing of hope, the meaning of hope, the biblical meaning of hope is joyful anticipation of good. In other words, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm still hopeful and I still have joy in the midst of not having it. That is biblical hope. I am praying that this house will expand in its ability to maintain hope in the midst of things that are not going well, but that we would go up the ladder even more so in being a hopeful people, a hopeful congregation. Because if you don't have hope, you cannot minister to the hopelessness that is out in the world. And that's who we're given to minister to. But if we don't have, if that's for me, tell them I'm busy. I'm messing with you, I really am. But let's find out who this is. You got it? You got it? Okay, that's good. You don't have to leave, do you? Okay, that's good. I love you, brother, I really do. I was preaching in a church one time, not this one, I was preaching in a church, one, a big church. And the pastor was on the front, and I was in the middle of the message, and all of a sudden I heard a phone go off. I didn't know who it was. And I was, anyways, it was ringing again, and all of a sudden I saw the pastor reach for his phone. You know, so he reached in the phone. It was one thing for him to say, well, it is my phone that's ringing. But he answered it. Hello? Now, the ones back at the back, way back at the back, they didn't know whose phone it was until I told them. I actually told them, I said, Pastor, if that's for me, tell them I'm busy. Nice. It was so funny. It really was. And not only did it was about a minute or two conversation. And I'm like, but I kept preaching. And I kept needling him. You need to go? Are you sure? You need it? You all right? You okay? But now we're, listen, if I didn't know them, they didn't know me, I wouldn't have said anything. But he's a dear brother, been knowing him for years and years and years, so he's used to it. Amen. I love funny stories. I really do. I'll tell you another one time. Me and Brenda went to a friend of mine's funeral and had this great big old long case, a staircase going up, big marble stuff. And we got to the front, big old doors. We opened it. And as we came in, she was by my side. And as we came in, we were walking like, grand entrance. Everybody in the funeral home was going. What had happened? Her heel, her skinny heel, had got caught into this stitch on the cuff. So when I would walk, she would go. Hanging on to me, almost pulling me down, and I'm like, hurry ho. And I'm looking at her, what is wrong with you? She's looking at me and saying, what is wrong with you? True story. Her shoe finally came off, hanging in my pants. And I looked down and I said, oh. I take it out and like Cinderella, I try to just. I got up and said, how y'all doing? Brenda's saying, let's leave. And I said, ooh, we can't leave now. We have made our grand entrance. And the man's name that died, a good friend of mine, I said, Doug may even be awake on this one. God has his ways of bringing humility into your life that you don't even know is around the corner. Humble yourself. If you don't, I will. And he will. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What's that got to do with the message? Nothing. But it does have something to do with life. And you having the ability to laugh even at yourself. Even when you're a little bit embarrassed. You just laugh, keep on going. And they look at you and they talk. I wanted to tell them, listen, I promise, I only had 3 drinks. I said, I better not tell them that. They'll think, sure enough, I've been drinking, you know, but everybody wasn't. Let's see, what was I talking to them about? I mean, I chased this rabbit. I chased 2 of them. You can always go to Isaiah and find alignment. Isaiah chapter 35, get it right in a minute. I was talking to you about our culture and how they define hope and how the Bible defines hope. It's a joyful anticipation of good. And when we lose our ability to be full of hope, we lose our ability to minister to the hopelessness. And we have got to be able to regain that. We've got to be able to do it in such a way that is biblical, that is God's way. If he's the way maker, he made a way for us to minister to the hopeless. Right? He made a way for us to be able to do that. See, our hope is based and it's anchored into the character of God, the nature of God, the love of God, and his commitment to us. How many of you think God is committed to you? He really is. He inside him, through his son, he's provided for you and I to find the way to follow him that will look just like Jesus. And that's what the Father wants. The Father wants us to be a very hopeful people. But you know, there's a lot of Christians that have lost hope. There's a lot of God's people that have lost their way in hanging on and holding on to the very thing that God said. See, our hope is the anchor of our soul. That's what the Bible says. Hope is the anchor. In other words, when things get very turbulent, it's going to hold you. It's going to hold you and I. It's going to bring us to the place that we are navigating with the weight of his glory, the weight of his promise, the weight of his word, the weight of his voice, the weight of his presence. We're being anchored in our mind, our will, and our emotion inside us. To be able to, so when we see hopelessness, there's things that we need to do, and we're going, that's what Isaiah is talking about. But when we gather our living in the midst of all of the stuff we go through, all of the stuff that we see, when we gather our living into hope, and hope is the very thing of saying, I'm joyful, even though I don't have what I'm looking for yet. Even though what I've been praying for has not been fully produced. But once again, anybody can be joyful when you've won the sweepstakes or you've got a new car or whatever it is that somebody's giving you. It's easy to do that. It's easy. It's actually easy after a ball game to, and I'm not against athletes doing this. I think they need to show forth the glory of their God. But you have to understand that when they give God the glory because they won, it's great that they do that, but that's not a biblical hope. Biblical hope is before the game. You know, not after you've already have it. And I'm not being critical of sports people. I think there's a lot of them coming out of the woodwork now that have given glory to God. You know, there's teams that are giving glory to God. I'm telling you, and it's going to be a movement. It already is, but it's going to be a movement that because millions watch it. So God is going to raise them up, and that's going to use them to be able to dispense what God is saying, you know, in this time and place. But it is really our relationship with him that is going to keep us anchored in hope with him. It says now faith is the evidence of. Come on, talk to me. Substance of things. If you're not hoping for, faith won't be there. Hope introduces you to faith. The hope of you being you having faith to be saved came from the hope that you can. The hope that he provided a way for you to be born again. So we have to have this thing called hope actively working in us in a way that is a movement that we can grab hold to and actually see God working in our lives. How many of you really want God to use you to the fullest of his purpose? Fullness of his purpose. Raise your hand at me. You really want that? Well, you know, there's ways for that to happen. Isaiah 35, did I tell you 35? Go to Isaiah 35. So you and I need to become the solution to other people's problems. Wouldn't you like to do that? Well, there's ways to do that. But see, here's the challenge. Here's the thing that you have to understand and believe. Before you run into any of their problems and your own, before you run into their problems, the hopelessness, you and I have to understand that before that problem ever came in their life, God already had a solution. Amen. Say that to yourself. Before that problem, God already had and already has the solution. How do we know that? Here's how you know it. The Bible says that before the foundations of the earth, before the earth was ever formed, ever created, before the foundations of the earth, Jesus was what? Crucified. How does that look? The Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit are having a dialogue. We're going to create earth. And we're going to create man after our image. And they're going to sin. Birth hadn't even been created yet. And they're going to sin. Jesus has already made a commitment in his life. I'll pay the price. So before the foundation was ever made of the earth, Jesus was crucified. The agreement was there. His son would die. So before there was ever a sin problem, there was already a solution for the sin. So whatever, so that whole premise is that before you ever run into the problem, you should always know that God has a solution. Amen. Yes or no? Yes. Whatever problem you've got, God's already got the solution. He had it before the foundation of the earth. He's already seen the solution. We got to be able to see it. We've got to be able to walk it out. We've got to be able to live it. We've got to be able to give it to them. But if we don't see the solution, if we're still scratching our head and we haven't figured out what does God want to do in this thing, then we've got to go back to the drawing board and find out what God wants so we can instill hope in other people. Because you and I have to have the hope that God's got the answer. And he's going to use you and I to give it to other people. Say amen. Amen. Say he's going to use me to bring the solution to people. Really, he's going to do that. But so let's look at this passage and we'll see if we can get through some of this. But Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the wasteland, verse 1, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert will rejoice and blossom as the rose. Watch this, the wilderness and the wasteland. Here's what we're beginning. This is the whole background of this passage, is these couple of verses in the front. That God's presence is going to invade the wilderness and the wasteland. And because he's present, things are going to change. Because he's present, things are going to change. Right? So what do we see? What do we see in the changes? He said the wilderness and the wasteland, they will be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Out in the middle of the desert. Verse 2, it shall blossom abundantly. Everybody say abundantly. Abundantly. Not just a little bit. Abundantly. See, his presence is going to be abundant. He said that the blossom will be abundantly and rejoice. Even the flowers, even the rose, even whatever is going to be abundantly rejoicing. Even with joy and singing. Even the rose, even the creation, even the is going to be singing because of his presence. Let me ask you, did you ever have a wasteland and a desert in your life? Did his presence make the difference? Say amen. His presence made that difference. Otherwise, you'd still be in a barren land. You'd still be in a wasteland. You'd still be in a desert. You'd still be a place where there was nothing happening. But see, he makes the difference, and he's making a difference in here. He said, the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The glory of Lebanon is actually his majesty in diversity. Lebanon has so many different trees, so many variety of trees, that but yet everything of creation in Lebanon is like, it's unified. It's become one. And the Bible talks about the cedars of Lebanon, which are just tall, strong. He said the glory of Lebanon, the strength and the majesty was given to your dry place. Excellence of Carmel and Sharon. The Carmel is beauty. The beauty has been given to the desert. Beauty has been given to your wasteland because he's here. And Sharon, which means fertility and the ability to reproduce. Can I say this? We're all sheep. Yes or no? Well, let me tell you something about sheep. Fat sheep do not reproduce. I'm not talking about your physical size. I'm talking about we eat spiritually, we eat spiritually, we eat, 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 and we get fat spiritually. Guess what you're not going to do? Reproduce. You're not going to reproduce other people. Why? Because you're only taking in, you're not giving out. Okay, that was an addition, but that hurt. No, you need to say that feels good, because that's freedom. Freedom feels good. It really does. Freedom feels good. He said, bless you, and they shall see the glory of the Lord. And they shall see the glory of the Lord. Have you seen the glory of God? If you've seen his character, you've seen his glory. If you've seen his character, you've seen his glory. The glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. He comes to a barren place. He comes to a barren land. He came to your life, and his presence made all the difference to you. His presence began to change things and how you look at things and how you see things and how you feel things and how you hear things. It changed. He made all the difference. He is the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. He is the one that turns it all around. And that's the background of the rest of this chapter. So he begins to say, look, if you have all that going on and you don't have a lot of hope, are you with me? Then you're under the influence of a lie. Where you don't have hope is the place where you're under the influence of a lie or deception. Because you cannot believe, listen, you cannot believe what God says and not have hope. If you believe what God says, if you really do believe what God says, you have hope. You have a place of hope. You can bring that baby up here, and I'll take care of that baby. We did one time, and I was over on this section, and I got into a big way of preaching, and I shouted, and all of a sudden the baby started crying, and I said, I'm sorry. Well, you ought to be. You woke him up. That's what the mama said. You ought to be. You woke him up. And I said, yes, I did. I'm sorry. What's that got to do with it? Nothing. So you get to this place where God has so entered your life, entered your being, that everything changes. What used to be barren, what used to be a desert, what used to be a dry place, what used to be nothing growing, it's just gone. Everything is just gone. Everything, you can't grow anything. You can't do anything. All of a sudden, it changes because God has shown up. God has come. And he says, you know, watch this. Even the roses will blossom, and they will blossom abundantly, and they will rejoice and start singing. Things around you will start singing. Have you ever looked at an object and all of a sudden just joy just filled your heart just because you saw something? Talk to me, yes? Absolutely. Why is that? That's an object that is singing to you. That God is saying, look, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to sing to you. I'm going to show you what abundant living really is. See, if you have this thing going on in 1 and 10, chapter, verse 1 and 2, there is no reason for you and I not to be full of hope. Amen. He had the solution. Say, he had the solution for my pain and my sin before I was ever born. Say that to yourself. He had the solution for your problem that you're going through right now. He's already got the solution. He's already had it. For the problem that you and I may face in the weeks, days, years to come, he's already got the solution. For the hopelessness that you see in other people's lives, he has the solution. The problem is we're not dispensing what we've been given. I'd love to stop at 1 and 2. I'd love to stop right there and say, that's all you got to do is just recognize it. Just recognize, just see what God's done in your life. And that's all you have to do. There's verse 3 and there's verse 4. Let's look what it says. He just got through telling you that he is an excellent God, and we'll see the excellence of God. And he says, this is what I've done. You know what he's about to tell you and I? Now I'm going to tell you what you and I'm going to tell you what you got to go do. I show you what I've done. Now here's what you've got to go do. Are you ready to hear it? You ready to read it? Ready to hear it? Verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands. Strengthen the hands that are weak. He's giving you and I a commission. He's giving you and I things that we need to go do because of what he's already done in verse 1 and 2. Strengthen the hands of the weak. Make firm the feeble knees. What does that mean? When you see somebody that really needs strength. By the way, let me put this in right here. Here's how you can do you want to be able to strengthen some hands and feeble knees? Do you want to be able to do this? All right. Now y'all are going to say, no, I don't know what you're going to say. It don't really matter. Here's how you do this. This is a box of food, $5. You buy one, they'll give you one. You buy one for $5, they'll give you one. You know what I want to do? I want our church to buy 100. And they'll give us 100. And Brother Terry and Miss Sherry, they will be able to give 200 boxes of food to people during the holiday season that don't have food. Amen. Strengthen the weakness. Your meeting, see, he talks about the hands. They're not able to do for themselves. They're not able to walk the way they need to walk. He said, strengthen them. $5. Don't give me no $5. Don't do. But see, wait just a second. I'm going to give you a time. I mean, you know, that money's burning a hole in his pocket. You know, it's really not about the money. You know Pat's heart right now? Pat ministers to people that are down and out. You know what? This ain't even his ministry, but you know what he wants to do? I want to give. Hey, take my money. Why is that? Because he understands that this passage talks about helping people. Amen. Now, so that would be $500, right? 100 boxes, $5 a box. That's $500. Is that right? Is my math good? And they're going to give us 100 boxes. We'll have 200 boxes. Terry can give it out to needy people. Amen. Here's the second part. He's going to feed people on Thanksgiving Day. Amen. You and I are probably in our homes with our families. Most of these people don't have families that they can actually sit down with and eat. Well, he needs about 26 turkeys. Well, guess what? We've already talked to, Lisa's already helped me with this. Lisa Barrett, she's already helped me. And Food Line says, hey, we'll sell you these turkeys for X amount of dollars, and then you buy 25 and I'll give you two. So the turkeys and the boxes, we need $1,000. So where's the offering takers? Get the bags. I'm giving you an opportunity to do, to practice Isaiah 53, 1 and, or 2 and 3. So we need $1,000 today. Do what? You can write grace of God, or you can write just write this offering to be separate. So just this will go to just Father's Vineyard. Make your checks to Father's Vineyard. This will be a designated offering that we will go and do. How many of you believe that this is needful? Amen. Terry, how many people did you feed last year, Thanksgiving? 450 people. Do you know Jesus said, feed the poor? You know what? By your offering, you know what you're able to do? Feed the poor. You're able to do 2 and 3. Now, I don't know whatever you can give. Just ask God what you're supposed to give. I'm fine with that. I'm not twisting anybody's arm. If you don't have anything to give, then it's perfectly fine. I'm just saying this is a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to live out these two verses at this moment. Come on down, guys. Both of them. Both of them. All that you're going to give is going to go to the boxes and to the turkeys. You can make it out to the church, and it'll be this offering to be separate from the others, and it will go to this purposes. You ready to pray? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to sow into the lives of people that are less fortunate than we are. Thank you that we have money to give. Lord, it might not be but a dollar, it might not be whatever, but we are grateful that you have given us things that we can give back to them who are less fortunate. We ask you to bless this offering. We ask you to expand this offering to meet the very need that is in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, isn't that better than telling you, I need a new Cadillac? Are y'all hearing me? Are y'all hearing me? Listen. Your pastor needs a new Cadillac. He drives a truck, and he's this and he's that. And look, when I get it, you'll get it. When I get mine, you'll get yours. Y'all, do y'all hear what I'm talking about? Do y'all hear? Listen, it's out there. Trust me. But see, this ain't about me. This whole place is not about me. This whole place is about him and him alone. Say amen. Amen. It is about him and him alone. All right, let's continue. Thank you, by the way, ahead of time. I joyfully anticipate that this is going to be far and beyond what it is that we need. Wow, that's hope. And I'm rejoicing. I'm like John. I'm rejoicing. John, you got into a place up here and you started dancing a little bit. I sort of like that. Yeah, you didn't know you did that? You didn't know you did any of that? We will show you with the video. Go on FaceTime. Strengthen the hands of the weak. If all of this stuff has been so good for you, and all this stuff has been his presence has changed your life and changed your surroundings so much, so you should be so full of hope that when you see this next person that is hopeless, when you see this next person that is weak in their hands, that they can't seem to work what it is that they need to work. They can't seem to walk the way that they need to walk. He said, I want you to strengthen their hands, and I want you to strengthen, make firm their feeble knees. That's what I want you to do. He's saying, I've done all this for you. Here's your part. But he's not through. He's not through. What does he say? Everybody say, say. What does that mean? You have to do what? You have to do some talking. Well, you know, this is what God's telling us to do. You have to do some talking. What does he say? Say to them that are fearful, faint-hearted, and fearful. Say to them, what do you want me to say to them, Lord? Be strong. Do not be afraid. Be strong. Do not be afraid. Everybody, let's rehearse. Be strong. Let's get all together. One, two, three.
Be strong. Do not be afraid.
Now, how hard is that? Not hard. When you're in line with somebody and you see and you know things are not going well, I need to tell you something. Be strong. Don't be afraid. Now, that's not all he says to tell them. What does he say? What else does he say? Tell them. Be strong. Do not be afraid. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Come here. Yeah, come on. Come on. You run across people that look like you're sad. Sad face. Says you can't do it. You know why? She's still in verse 1 and 2. Look at what God's done in my life. All right, but see, she's sad. And if she's sad, you can just say, I really need to tell you something. The Lord wants you to know, be strong. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Behold, your God is going to meet every need that you've ever had in your life. And what has been taken from you, God is going to give it back. You know what I'm doing? The hope and the grace. Watch this, the hope and the grace. Because the Bible says this in Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only the words that are good for edification and building up. For that very moment. He gets specific for that very moment. He said, and grace will be given to those who hear it. You're a dispenser of grace. You're a dispenser of hope. You understand what I'm saying? You're just out of the natural thing. Just begin to tell them, you know, God sees what's happening in your life. And he has not forgotten you. He loves you dearly. And whatever's been misfortunate in your life, God is gonna rebuild that in your life and give back to you what the enemy has stolen. I don't want you to be afraid. Be strong. It's gonna be okay. Thank you. It's just talking. He says, you see what all I've done? Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the hope that I've given you and my presence, how much change has happened because I showed up in your life. And you're filled with hope and you're filled with joy because I've done something. Now I want you to have the hope. Now God said, I want you to have the hope and the anticipation of my good coming to somebody else. And I want you to be able to speak it. I want you to be able to say it. I want you to be able to strengthen. I want you to be able to meet physical needs that they need, right? There's an old saying out there that said, people don't know how much you, let's see, what's care? What is that? They don't care how much you know until you show them how much you care. Have you ever used Bible verses and all of a sudden they fell to the, it just sort of like fell by, you know. That's the reason James said when you run across people that's in need, just don't look at them and say, well, bless you. We'll see you. Are y'all with me? Oh, it's time to quit. I'm telling you, and I just got started. We're waiting on God. God's waiting on us. He's saying, this is what I've done for you. This is how I turned your desert into this blooming, blossoming, fruitful place that is actually full of singing and rejoicing. Then he says, it's your turn. I want you to start strengthening people that are weak. Their hands, they're not able to function the way they need to function. They're not, you know, what does that look like? I don't know what it looks like. Follow the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you. And where they're feeble, help the feebleness. You know, because they know you care. They know you're just not trying to get them to church. Amen. So you can have a bigger number. Why? Because you're caring about what's going on in their life. And then you can look at them and say, I need to tell you this. Don't be afraid. When people are hopeless, guess what they are? Afraid. When they have hopelessness, they have fear. They have no joy. We should be a people that are just so full of joy because we know who God is. We know what he's capable of doing. We know what he will do. All we've got to do is step up and release it. We can't be intimidated. We shouldn't be. See, things have to change. Yes? We have to change how we minister. We have to start following biblical guidelines instead of church stuff, instead of a denominational line. We have to follow the Word of God. Let me ask, is there anybody in here that he said in this Bible, in this passage, that he gave you an excuse not to do it? He excluded you. See, what we want God to do it all. He said, I'm doing it, but I'm going to do it through you. I'm waiting on you to be activated in releasing my grace that I've given you. So when you start, your words start being wholesome, healthy, that's good for edifying and building up. When that begins to happen, he said, I'm going to show up and I'm going to give them grace. Where does grace come from? God. God's given you grace. You're a dispenser. Not only do you have it, but you're a dispenser of it. You're able to give it out. You're able to say things that God says, oh, I see what my children are doing. I see what John just did. And I'm gonna just pour out all kind of grace on that person just because John stepped out and did what I told him to do. And I'm about to flood this person with a divine ability and favor that's going to blow them away. They will know then that Christianity is not just a religion. It is the reality of how you live in Him. Amen?
Amen.
That's good. Israel's here. Israel, see, Israel taught. He's taught me so much. He's a smart guy. He really is. He was serving somewhere down here, and there was a party or something. He was a lot smaller, and I mean, he really was a lot smaller. And he was taking drinks and tea and water to everybody. That was part of his job. Well, he comes up to Paul. He says, Paul, and I said, yeah. Would you like something to drink? I said, Israel, I would love something to drink. I would really love something to drink. He said, well, it's right over there on that table. That's what it is. Yeah, right over there on that table. You see where the red cups are? Oh, yeah, I see it. That's where the drinks are. And I said, I got you. I was lost there for a minute, but you showed me where it was at. What is the point? Listen to the point. I love it, really. What is the point? We can become so familiar with people that we begin not to give them everything that they need in our service. Now, he was young. But I tell you, I learned a lesson. Israel, I learned a valuable lesson from that. We can become, what did he say? I was five, Paul. I'm going to give me a break. I was only 5 years old. Listen, I'm 69 and still do that kind of stuff. So it's like, you know, I need to learn that lesson. You don't, because you're from me, oh, they'll work it out. No. When you're there, give the grace that you have to those, even though you know them. Amen. All right, I got to close. I really do. I know y'all laugh like, y'all, you're not going to close now. Yes, I am. I'm going to close right now. Yeah, I'm going to close. Did you learn anything? We're going to continue. Do you want to continue this? Okay, about 4 o'clock, I'll be through. No, I'm messing with you. Do you want to continue? Do you want to hear more about this? Okay, we'll do some more of that next week. Let's stand to our feet. And can the praise team come up and just, is everybody here? By the way, Michael Henderson. Michael, stand up, bro. Can you stand up? No, he can't stand up. He's trying to keep his legs strong and everything. Everybody sit back down. He can't stand up, but he can raise his hand. Can you raise your hand? Look. Let's bless God for healing this man. Amen. He's had a rough time. He's been in the hospital. Don't be afraid. Take courage. Everything that the enemy has tried to take away from you, God is coming with a vengeance to give everything back to you that the enemy's tried to take. Abundantly. I like that. Abundantly. Amen. I'm not rehearsing a sermon. I'm telling you the truth. How long was you in the hospital?
5 days.
5 days. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to accelerate his healing. And Lord, we ask you to seal off this threat that comes from the enemy, this assignment that comes from the enemy. Seal it off. End it. It will have no prospering in his body from this moment on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What are y'all doing sitting down? Stand back up. We're closing. All right, I meant, guys, how much offering did we get? Have you ever seen people say, well, we didn't quite get enough, we're going to send it by again? I'm not going to do that. Did you get anything out of this message that is very practical for you to impact this country? Yes, we did. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We worship you. You are the way maker. There's no one like you. You're the miracle worker. You're the promise keeper. You're the light in the darkness. We proclaim you as being all of that, our Savior, our King, our God, our Lord. Motivate us to step out by faith and hope that will impact the lives of people because we're willing to say to them what you're saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. It's so good today.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.